No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Welcome, Red Sox fans. Here are the bastards of Boston baseball.
Welcome, everyone. The bastards are back for this emergency podcast. We're going to be going over some trades and acquisitions that the Red Sox have made in the last several hours on this Monday evening. Quick disclaimer, as always, for any first-time listeners, this is not a homer podcast. We call it how we see it. When the Red Sox are dominating, we will celebrate that. When they are getting destroyed, especially in trades and acquisitions, we will be critical and at times savagely blunt. If you are easily offended, press the stop button immediately. But for those who embrace it, let's get rolling. I am Terry Cushman coming to you from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, by way of Windham, Maine. You can find me on Twitter at CushmanMLB. You can find the podcast account at Bastards_Boston. Joining us tonight from the city of Canton, Massachusetts, Jason Kelly. Jason?
I'm doing pretty well. We all knew that a night like this was coming. It's still a little bit shocking when you see the names and all the news come across your Twitter and across your phone as the night goes on. But like I said, we all kind of expected it. I'm just glad that some moves were made. I'm not sure I'm happy with all of them, but obviously we'll get into that. So pretty eventful night, gotta say.
Also joining us tonight from the city of Providence, Rhode Island, Charlie Smith. I think you might be on mute, Charlie.
Who else would ever be on mute besides me? It's good practice. Anyways, great to see both of you. I feel like it's been a little while since I've seen both of your faces. Happy that we got a win, but man, do we got some stuff to talk about tonight.
We certainly do. I think our moods might be a little different based on the situation. Jason, you kind of tipped your hand a little bit, but let's get into the Christian Vasquez trade. And actually, let me just run through it right now. So the Red Sox got two players back from the Astros, one of them, Emmanuel Valdez. He's basically a super utility guy, plays first, second, and third base in both corner outfield positions. So does everything except catch and play shortstop. He's hitting a pretty robust 27 batting average right now with a 410 on base and a 606 slugging percentage with 21 home runs currently across Double A and Triple A. They also got Willier Abreu in that deal. He basically is primarily an outfielder, can play all three outfield positions. He's not quite hitting as well, but he's hitting 249 right now with a 399 on base. That looks pretty good. A 459 slugging. He also has 15 home runs and a whopping 23 stolen bases right now. He is currently in Double A. That's the package we got back from Christian Vasquez. Those are their number 12 and 21 ranked prospects. So go ahead, Jason, your thoughts on that trade.
Yeah, I like I said, I think all of us expected Christian Vasquez to get traded this deadline. The writing was on the wall. I'm a little disappointed that they couldn't package him with JD Martinez and get, you know, top five prospects from another organization. My guess is, just reading the tea leaves early on, is that teams didn't value JD Martinez all that highly. So I'm sure the Red Sox tried to pair those two together and you know, sort of offload JD and Vasquez in the same package. And I'm sure a lot of teams like the Mets, who are rumored to be in talks with them, said, you know what, we have no use for JD Martinez, so we're good. Red Sox decided just to trade Christian Vasquez on his own. And the return is, you know, right now it looks pretty decent. Again, Vasquez was kind of the guy I was the least willing to part with, just because you have nothing in your catcher depth pipeline coming up that really looks all that exciting. Ronaldo Hernandez looks like he can't hit. And Connor Wong, you know, he's shown flashes here and there, but ultimately doesn't look like a future MLB catcher that's at least going to be an everyday player and be productive for you. I do like the two players in terms of how they profile that they got back. You got back two 23-year-olds who are athletic, who have a little bit of power, a little bit of speed. They can play multiple positions. I like that profile. I like that they didn't just get, you know, here's a guy who's 6'5 and hits a ton of power, but he strikes out a lot, right? Because the thing that concerned me about all the Mets rumors is that they're rumored to get this guy who was an outfielder / DH. Like, already, this kid's a prospect, hasn't even made a major league debut yet, and they profiled him as outfield / DH, who hits a lot of power and strikes out a lot. That sounds like Bobby Dalbec outfield version to me. So those rumors were a little bit concerning. I'm glad that they got two guys who are young, who are athletic, hitting for a little bit of power. Valdez seems like he's a little bit closer because he's played 38 games at AAA and he's hit close to 300. Abreu is just now hitting in AA and he's getting his feet wet. You know, it's not terrible. He's in 249. So, you know, they're both kind of finding their own way, but it seems like Valdez is the guy who's maybe a little bit closer. I don't know if there are 2023 roster candidates. I don't think either of them are, but they seem like they're close. It's not like you acquired an 18-year-old who you got to wait till 2026 for him to be ready. So I don't mind the return. The return's pretty good. Like I said, Vasquez was a guy that I was kind of on the fence on. Wasn't sure if I really wanted to deal him, but at the same time, certainly would not give him a qualifying offer and wasn't sure if I was really committed to Vasquez for a long-term contract this offseason. So I think ultimately they did okay. You know, it's not a trade that knocks me over and says, oh my God, this is like an absolute steal. I mean, again, not a top 10 prospect in return, but you're giving up a catcher who's approaching his 30s, has had a lot of mileage on him, probably is not considered a top 10 catcher in Major League Baseball. So ultimately, I think they did okay. This trade doesn't bother me too much. It, like I said, it doesn't knock me over. I'm not head over heels over it, but it doesn't bother me either. I think that Chaim did okay on this one.
Charlie?
I'm actually kind of shocked that you don't think that Christian Vasquez is a top 10 catcher. I think he actually is a top 10 catcher in the league. I can think of maybe four or five other guys in the league that are maybe that should be considered higher than him. You got Wilson Contreras in Chicago. You have Will Smith in LA. Kirk is really good in Toronto, and he's in our division. Philly's got Realmuto. I think the Reds have Stevenson. So I probably put him in the top eight, really, maybe top seven. He actually, I was shocked that we didn't get at least one in the top 10, but you already kind of mentioned, a lot of the information between the two. I agree with you on which player is going to come up first. And that's going to be, Emmanuel Valdez, who's sitting, like you mentioned, close to 300 in 38 games. He's had almost an RBI a game. He looks like he's almost ready. Is he stealing bases? No, but that's okay. At Double A, you still have Willier Abreu, who is 23 for 24 in stolen base attempts. He has 15 home runs, 54 RBIs. He's hitting just under 250. Still plenty of time to figure it out. Double A, like Jason said, I think that we're at least a year plus away. I don't think 2023 is going to be a year where we see either one. If we see anybody, it'll be Valdez at the tail end of 23, but most likely 2024, we'll see one, if not both. As for parting ways with Vasquez, this was not the first player the first domino that I thought was going to fall. I thought this might've been the second, third, or probably one of the latter pieces. I thought it was going to be Evaldi or JD first. When they mentioned Vasquez, I said, okay, who else? When it was just him, it was kind of a surprise. I put a tweet out. Is JD Martinez going to be gone before this game, or is it going to be after the game? Majority of folks at the time said he was going to be gone before, and JD's out running, stretching. We're 20 minutes before the game, still hasn't left yet. So I was incredibly surprised that one of the Red Sox fan favorites was gone. But let me tell you, his resurgence, where he refound himself, getting on base, getting singles, knocking people over, doing his job, a much better command of the starting rotation when healthy. He's going to make a name for himself over the next couple of years. He's going to be making 20 plus over the next 2 years, easy, wherever it is that he lands. But I'm excited. I want to remain a little bit positive for these prospects. I'm really hoping this isn't like Jackie Bradley for Hunter Renfro 2.0, because that would be devastating.
I'm still kind of bitter, you know, from where I'm coming from right now. It's just painfully clear to me after seeing how today played out and how it's looking like tomorrow will play out. Chaim Bloom at no point in mid-June up until today wanted to improve the team. He didn't want to do it. He was waiting for this moment so he could make a slew of moves. Like I said on last night's show, it was probably going to be his last chance to do something like this mid-season. But I thought we could have been contenders. I thought if you get Tommy Pham a little quicker, like we're going to get to him in a second, but are you telling me right now we couldn't have got him for the same deal 3 weeks ago and been that much better in your outfield? Like Chaim Bloom waited and dragged his feet and couldn't have cared less about competing in 2022. And I'm just kind of bitter that we let him get his way. We let him get what he wanted. And yeah, these prospects are nice, especially Valdez. I'm looking at his lines across Double A and Triple A specifically. He's hitting 296 right now in Triple A and was hitting 357 in Double A. Since arriving in AAA, and I'm going to admit right now, I don't know which teams are which, especially out West, but he's hit 10 home runs already. He's got 159 at bats. He could have 300 to 350 at bats by the end of the season. So if you take that and then you take a good spring training, maybe he does make the opening day roster, especially if Bloom makes no outfield moves this winter. All you have guaranteed for next year is Kike Hernandez, and as much as I hate to say it, Jackie Bradley Jr. Apparently the Phillies are interested in Jackie Bradley, so let's all say a prayer before we go to bed tonight. Everyone at this table, for the listening audience, we have some guests listening in that are actually with me in person, but we're agnostic, so we might still say a prayer. I don't know. To get Vasquez off this team. But the outfield right now is bad. And so one of my fears here could be maybe Bloom does plan on using Valdez next year. And what if he's a bust? What if he's just slow out of the gates, has to go back to AAA, get polished up? I'm not saying he's going to be a bust forever, but he could seriously set us back in 2023 if, in fact, this is what Bloom has planned. So I'm a little bitter. Right before we came on, I caught that 20-second clip of Christian Vasquez, and he looked like he was on another planet. He had no idea how to process the situation. It was just too much for him all at once. The beat writers converged on him at the last second. Then Red Sox PR whisked him away. He was wearing a Red Sox windbreaker, Red Sox hat. He had to go over to the second dugout. Do we know if he played tonight? I'm guessing not. I'm guessing they wouldn't have thrown him in there. He did not play. Okay. I was out for most of the evening. But so that's where I'm at. And here's a fun fact for you. Christian Vasquez was the Red Sox best first baseman. He was the best first baseman. Do you want Franchi or Bobby at first base over Vasquez, who is playing adequately, who can give you a slappy opposite field shot into shallow right field and drive in a run or get on base? We just dealt a guy who had a really high baseball IQ. And it's just so ironic. He finally works so good with the pitching staff. And guess what? You know, pack your bags, kid. You're going to Houston. So that's my take on it. I'm bitter. We could still get Vasquez back next year on cheap money. We can talk about JD shortly. I mean, he could be the next to go. Who knows with Eovaldi. But Vasquez wouldn't be given a qualifying offer for $19 million next year. The other two guys I just mentioned possibly could. So if, you know, that made him the more likely to be traded. But Charlie, go ahead.
Yeah, as far as what you're just talking about with Vasquez, there's one play in particular that made me really nervous. And when balls get sent into the ground on a bounce, you don't really have a warm, fuzzy feeling at first base for Boston. It was a ball that John Schreiber had thrown. It was Kyle Tucker who grounded it to the pitcher, and he looked defeated when he did it. He just kind of stared at the ground like, damn it, and he kind of slowly chugged out, kind of like Raimel Tapia for Toronto when he hit that grand slam over Duran's head. And Schreiber threw it in the ground, and my immediate reaction was I closed my eyes and I go, damn it. But Bobby Dalbec saved it. And that kept the game in our favor. If that goes the other direction, it's 3-3 right now. We're not tied. So we're actually down 4-3 because the very next two batters would have walked, and that would have knocked in a run, and then a single, which would have driven in at least one. So that was probably one of the more important plays of the game. Schreiber had like a Nate Eovaldi grunt going on too, and I don't know if he was like really trying to like dial it in, but he was getting really pumped up over strikeouts to the same tune that I usually, you know, kind of call out our opposing relievers. So I get it, but at the same time, try to temper your expectations, John, because we have another 60 games to go. I don't want you throwing it on game 100. We still have 60 more. That first base glaring hole, it's not going anywhere anytime soon. So I'm curious to see what's going to actually happen, because Bobby Dalbec and Franchi at first base, that ain't it. That's not going to cut it. So we better not be done by tomorrow.
Well, I mean, we're going to be glued to our phones all day, that's for sure. And for what it's worth, the Houston Astros also acquired Trey Mancini earlier. I'm not sure what the plan is for him. He can play corner outfield. His more natural position right now is first base, so I don't know if something's going on with Yuli Gurriel or not. But either way, they have a very popular addition in Mancini. So Yankees made a slew of moves too. What did they get? They got Frankie Montas. They got Trevino, who I think isn't he one of their better relievers out there in Oakland?
Trevino, who was good last year. He struggled so far this year, but they're hoping to turn him around just to beef up their bullpen.
And they got Scott Efros from the Cubs, who's having a pretty solid year. Slider sinker guy, if I'm not mistaken. He's controllable through 2027. So they definitely got that bullpen beefed up and the rotation shored up as well. So, all right, next move. Now, if you got your kids in the car, this one's going to be a little dicey. You know, we're going to be talking about a player who got caught doing something creepy. But Jake Diekman has been traded to the Chicago White Sox for Reese McGuire. Diekman was on a 2-year, $8 million deal. So that's roughly, $4 million per year. So Red Sox kind of get bailed out because that was kind of I'm not going to say Diekman was terrible, but it was an awkward fit and it had the potential to be really bad. And so he goes on to Chicago, and Reese McGuire, this is where it gets a little, hinky. There's a million words you could use. He was caught in 2020, choking his chicken is what I'm going with. In a public parking lot, cops caught him in the act. He was arrested and charged with, I don't have the exact charge, but you can't do that in public, and he did that, and. Now he's a catcher for the Boston Red Sox. So I don't know if he's going to be limited to just fist bumps or, I don't know. We could go on all day about that. Jason, go ahead. Thoughts on Reese McGuire?
Yeah, stock up on the hand sanitizer in the dugout just, for whenever this guy's playing. Look, it's in all seriousness, I mean, this is a move that I kind of feel indifferent about. I'm happy that they got out from the Diekman contract. I didn't feel good about paying that guy any sort of millions next year. Reese McGuire is under team control for several years. He's got 3 more years of arbitration. He's only making $700,000 this year. And based on his performance, he's not going to get any sort of pay bump, if at all. So he's cheap. He's a cheap depth catcher. I don't think he's an everyday guy. You look at his numbers, they're not very good. And Chicago has had catching issues this year, and he has not been able to seize that job. So this is a guy who at one point with Toronto looked like he was a good offensive catching prospect and decided to get a little too happy with himself in his car, and everything went off the rails after that. But I mean, seriously, he's 27 years old now. He really just hasn't caught on anywhere. But the Red Sox have a hole at catcher now. And, whether it's McGuire and Connor Wong, or whether it's McGuire, Connor Wong, I think, took a pitch off the hand the other day, so may not see him for a while. It could be McGuire and Plawecki for a little bit until the season rides out. Ronaldo Hernandez, I know, was on the taxi squad with the Red Sox this week. So obviously they were expecting to make some moves at catcher. Reese McGuire is no one to get excited about. So, you know, this deal to me was purely a salary dump slash let's take a 27-year-old guy who's a catcher and can fill that position, and hopefully a change of scenery works out for him. But I don't think you get much out of this guy, if anything at all. So if anything, it's a net positive because you don't have to pay Jake Diekman next year. So we'll take that. But otherwise, not really a move to get all that excited about.
Yeah, I wasn't blown away. When I looked him up and I saw the video, I posted it to the War Room, which is our group chat that we have, just a private group chat on Twitter. And yeah, just kind of a poor decision. Said that he was living in a space, he was living in a studio, so he didn't have any place private. I'm guessing he didn't have a bathroom in there, because like, I don't understand how you messed that up. I don't get it. He apologized. He pled nolo contendere, whatever that is, to reduce charge and only had to pay a fine and court costs. So he got away with a little bit more than probably expected. But Jason already said it. This is just like an added depth piece. No one's going to, you know, look to Reese to be like, yep, you're going to be our everyday catcher. This is just a depth part. There's nothing more to it. As you guys already discussed earlier, it's a salary dump. It is what it is. We're just going to call it out for what it is. The Red Sox are not going to take this player seriously as a starter, but 3 years of team control can help. He's not eligible to be a free agent until 2026, so we get 3.5 years of them. So we'll just hopefully see if maybe we can turn him around and produce a little something, a little bit of magic out of him. Is it going to be a pure replacement for Christian Vasquez? No, that will not happen. But if you can get at least 5-10%, I would take that right now.
So just looking at his baseball reference page right now, he's never played more than 78 games in a season, and that season in particular was 2021. Not a terrible year as far as just hitting goes, 253 with a 310 OBP. No power whatsoever. You're not going to get those Christian Vasquez clutch late inning home runs. He's only got 9 career home runs spread out over the 5 seasons he's played. So not a ton there. The most doubles he's ever hit, that was also 2021. He hit 15 of them. Which I guess is pretty good for a backup catcher, but you just got to hope that there's another move coming, or that perhaps Connor Wong surprises everyone and can be that everyday guy. I think Wong hit 28 home runs in the minors in 2019, so that's what made him kind of attractive in the Mookie deal. But hasn't quite had that same power output. But I mean, if you're telling me right now Reese is going to be basically taking over for Plawecki after 2022, I'd rather take my chances with Wong. You know, unless we know Andrew loves Sean Murphy, you know, with the Athletics, but who knows if they might package up some of the prospects we got today or what we might get tomorrow and maybe make a lateral move like that. But there's nothing to be excited about with Reese McGuire. And, you know, with his arrest history and he's behind the plate, it might be fair to question whether his head's even in the game at times. Is this dude thinking about baseball or something creepy right now? Who knows? Who knows? But he's going to be on the wrong end of those jokes for the rest of his career, however long that ends up being. But very underwhelming. We'll also get a player to be named later who will probably be someone who never sees the light of day. That's usually how that works. And the White Sox might send cash back depending on, you know, which way Bloom wants to go. Also today, I kind of touched on it earlier in my Bloom rant in the open part of the show. We did get Tommy Pham. Pham is, from a performance standpoint, a quality guy at times, can hit for power, just a really good hitter. I don't think, I haven't pulled this page up yet, I don't think he's quite had a great 2022, but typically has been a good player. Questionable off the field. He did get stabbed at a strip club, which is, you know, a lot of bad decisions happen around those clubs. He tends to get, he got stabbed. He also was in the weird controversy with Jock Peterson where he actually, I don't know if he punched or slapped. He assaulted Peterson in some type of way before a game. While teams were doing their workouts on the field, apparently there was some beef over a fantasy football league that they were in last year, and it kind of dragged on throughout the week to the point where Jock Peterson was reading text messages verbatim over the drama that came out of that league. So character concerns, but Jason, what were your thoughts on acquiring Pham finally, at least 3 weeks after we probably should have?
Yeah, don't play fantasy football with Tommy Pham, or else you're going to get Will Smith, and don't sit in a car alone with Reese McGuire. This is the Red Sox trade deadline in 2022. It's unbelievable. Like, just, I am Bloom just identifying all the weird character guys.
So we got Pee Wee Herman and Will Smith.
Yeah, that's essentially. Yep, you got a pervert and you got a hothead. So nice. That's good. That'll help your team. Yeah, the Tommy Pham trade, this one annoys me. And it probably shouldn't annoy me, but it does, because you're getting a guy, you didn't give up anything to get Tommy Pham. You gave up, I think, a player to be named later and some cash to get him. So, you know, the return going back, I have no issue with that. Fine. But you said it, Terry. Like, why is this trade happening now when the Red Sox are, like, they're slipping out of it? They've had a complete nosedive through the month of July. You're telling me you couldn't have made this trade 3 weeks ago? When you knew, obviously, you had an outfield issue because you decided to trade for Jackie Bradley Jr., who's the worst offensive player in MLB history. Jaron Duran has taken a step backwards. Quite frankly, Alex Verdugo he's okay, but he's not setting the world on fire. You couldn't have made this trade weeks ago and helped bolster your outfield then. You decided to do it now when the Yankees have gotten better, the Astros have gotten better, these other wildcard teams around you have gotten better. Now you make this move. It's too little too late. And I just don't think Tommy Pham is the piece that's going to get you over the hump, especially after you trade your starting catcher and, you know, one of your bullpen arms. Granted, he was an inconsistent bullpen arm, but the part of this trade that annoys me so much is that after it happened, after the flurry of moves tonight, you hear Chaim Bloom say, well, the goal is still to make the playoffs. We still fully intend to make the postseason. Are you kidding me? You trade your starting catcher, who was actually one of your better offensive players, too. You trade a bullpen arm, and you bring in 34-year-old psychopath Tommy Pham, who's hitting, I think, .239 this year, and that's, you're going to sell your fan base that we still want to make the postseason? No, that's not a move you make to show your fan base you're trying to make the postseason. It's just not. So, and this has been my fear with Chaim Bloom ever since he got hired, is he willing to part with prospects to make that move to actually put his team over the hump and get them into the playoffs? And so far, he's proven that he can't do it. He's not going to do it. All these other teams are going to do it. Seattle did it. Seattle did it for Luis Castillo. The Yankees are going all in. Houston is going all in. Chaim Bloom is sitting here going, well, I'd like a couple more prospects. And then, yeah, give me a 34-year-old outfielder who's hitting .239. That'll do it. It's not good enough. So despite the fact that you gave up nothing to get Tommy Pham, I hate the move because of what it represents. And what it represents is Chaim Bloom trying to sell this insane narrative to this stupid fan base that, yeah, no, we're still trying to make the postseason. We still fully intend to contend for the postseason. That's a joke. This team's not contending for the postseason. They're absolutely not. You don't sell your starting catcher and then tell your fan base, yeah, we're still going to make the playoffs. And we still have a whole day to go. We don't know. Like, for all we know, JD Martinez could be out the door too. There could be other moves coming. Nathan Eovaldi could be out the door. So for him to sit there and say, well, hey, we got Tommy Pham. See, we're making moves. We're trying to make the playoffs. No, that's not enough. So I don't necessarily hate Tommy Pham. I think he's a complete psychopath. But on the field, I don't hate the player. I certainly don't hate what you gave up. You gave up nothing to get him. But I hate the narrative that that move drives, which is we can sell our catcher. We can sell a bullpen arm. We have injuries out the wazoo. But, hey, we got this one outfielder who's having a below-average year, and that's going to be what I use as the general manager to sell to the fan base that we're still trying to contend for the playoffs. That's laughable. It's absolutely laughable. So I still don't think that the Red Sox are going to make the playoffs, and I don't think this move makes all that much of a difference. So, yeah, you got him for nothing, but it's not going to make any difference.
Yeah. So just to add on to what Jason said, the Dodgers are going all in. The Padres, division team, also going all in. The Yankees, as we all have seen, going all in. The Astros are going all in. The Red Sox are going all over the place. Big difference. We're adding players that make absolutely no sense. When I see Tommy Pham, and I'm sorry for making this reference, I just kind of get Willy Mopena vibes. Like, he's going to be there, but he's not going to be anything super special. And this guy already has baggage. Now we have our very own Manny Machado. You throw inside at Tommy Pham, and you might have someone charging the mound, probably with a bat. This guy's a nut. And I've said it multiple times on multiple tweets. I don't want this guy. Like, you are not, as Jason mentioned, you are not telling your fan base you are still in it when you get rid of Christian Vasquez and you bring in Reese McGuire. Sorry, Reese, but you're not a third the catcher that Vasquez was. This is the guy who's caught the fifth most games in Red Sox history. And we replace it with Reese McGuire, who has the same number of home runs in this year and last year that he had all in 2020, which was one. This is not screaming, yes, we're still trying. This has been salary dump city, but they're doing everything they possibly can to save face. And Terry and I have said this before multiple times. 2022 was an excuse year because the team overperformed in 2021. Last year's team never should have been in the playoffs. They never should have gone as far as they did, but they did. And now in this year, where we're just kind of living off of that hype, but paying for it much more direly than we ever had to, because Chaim Bloom didn't prepare the team in a proper manner. We didn't get proper signings. We got too many, as Terry's used that phrase, under the radar, sexy signings. I don't want those names. I want to go for someone who's big. We had opportunities for Carlos Rodon. We didn't get him. We had an opportunity, Kevin Gausman. We didn't get him. But we got Rich Hill. And we got James Paxton, who we've already talked about recently, hasn't thrown a pitch yet. And I'm missing a couple of relievers. But still no one that says, yeah, this team is it. This is definitely a 2022 contender. I'm sorry. At this point, you need to sell. You have to fire sale. This is going to be a really ugly rest of the year. Everyone's going to be upset. This team isn't going anywhere. It's really sad. It's really, really sad. I want no part of Tommy Pham. I was begging. They're saying Red Sox or Mets. And I said, please, Mets, please, Mets, please, Mets. And I'm going down the list. And everyone's like, please, not New York. We don't need another head case. Please, I hope he's going to Boston. And where does he go? Boston. So we seem to be making moves for dumb players, getting rid of fan favorites. So it's really anybody's guess what Chaim Bloom is going to do next. Make more moves. Stop. Spin the bottle. Who knows?
I can tolerate Tommy Pham for the remainder of this season. I would hate it immensely if Bloom talked himself into you know, bringing him back for 2023. He's not a good guy in the clubhouse. Part of me also hopes that there's some type of controversy this year that kind of hammers home what I'm saying. You know, this isn't a guy you want in your clubhouse for 162 games. You don't want him negatively influencing guys like Tristan Casas, who will be coming up, and a guy like Jaren Duran, who's already up. So hopefully it's just a cup of coffee. He does well for us, and then we move on next year. We've got a lot of money coming off the books, so go find another outfielder. You're probably losing Kike. I don't think we really want him back if we can't be assured that he's going to be healthy. Apparently, he is starting to swing a bat and might be back in the middle to later part of the month. He did have a PRP injection in his hip. But, yeah, Charlie?
There's going to be over $50 million of money to spend this year coming up. You got almost 40% David Price off the books alone. That's $16 million. Walk, I think, is getting
eight.
Five? Is it $8 million? I thought it was five.
No, it's eight. So million.
It's eight, Jason? Yeah, you shake. Yeah. Okay, so you got eight there. That's 24. Paxton got six. That's 30.
No, he's back next year.
Is he back next year? I thought it was a 2-year deal last year and this year. I missed it.
This year, next year.
Okay. So 8.375 or something like that, 8.5, something in that range.
I forget how it went. It might be around 10. Yeah.
So you got that. You're not worrying about Diekman. That's $4 million off the books. There's a couple other players that are probably not going to be re-signed. JD is also not going to be back. That's another 20 plus million. So you're looking at over $50 million that you can spend on some top tier talent. If we don't get anybody next year and you still haven't re-signed Devers, how do you, as Chaim Bloom, address not only the media, but your team and your fans and say, we're doing everything here in Boston that we possibly can to be a contender, a winner? Because the Tampa Bay BS methods don't always work. Tampa Bay hasn't won a World Series. Yeah, they're a pitching factory, but guess what? That's not Boston. We have a bank, and we're not using it. For some odd reason, we're just staying pat, and it's unacceptable, and it won't stand. Fans are going to be calling for some major changes.
I'm just going through some tweets right now. Devers did say this week that he was very relieved that he was told ahead of time that the Red Sox wouldn't trade him. So hopefully you kind of take that and maybe look towards the winter, and maybe Devers will take an extension seriously. Like, look, I want to stay here, and I don't want to be shipped off like Vasquez was, and perhaps JD, if that happens on Tuesday. But that's one thing I took from it. Chris Cotillo had a tweet, let me find it, 8 minutes ago, says, the Red Sox are trying to put on happy faces after a win, but it's not exactly a celebratory clubhouse. One veteran told a beat writer after he was asked for comment, the player simply said, not in the mood tonight. So they're not jumping up and down and, you know, that they just beat a potential World Series contender tonight. We'll see. Let's talk about Nathan Eovaldi real quick before we go. He went, I think, 7 innings or 6 1/3, 6 2/3, pitched pretty deep in the game, only gave up 2 runs. His value might have went up in the next 24 hours. Teams might be looking at him as maybe a consolation prize to a Carlos Rodon, who is out there and probably would be coveted. Maybe Eovaldi could be the cheaper route. I really don't know. And I have to believe that Chaim Bloom's going to be asking for a lot, but he's certainly going to have a lot of interest in the next 24 hours.
Well, and the thing too is, now that Montas is off the board, any teams that missed out on him are going to now pivot to Eovaldi. They're going to pivot to Rodon, like you mentioned. So the Yankees got their guy. They got Montas. Obviously, I think Montas, maybe teams value above Eovaldi, although he's had some injury problems this year. So now it really comes down to, you look at the starting pitching market, it's Eovaldi, Rodon. I know there's a few other guys out there, but I think Eovaldi is probably top of that list. So I think Montas getting dealt probably helped the Red Sox a little bit, because other teams who maybe missed out on him are now going to pivot to Eovaldi. And they'll say, okay, well, Red Sox just sold their starting catcher. They just sold the bullpen arm. So if they're in sell mode, which despite what anyone in that stupid organization tells you, the Red Sox are in sell mode, other teams are going to come calling. And they're going to say, hey, we'll give you our number, I don't know, call it number 8 prospect for Nathan Eovaldi. If you're Chaim Bloom, you can't ignore that. You can't turn that down, because I'm sorry, like, if you don't accept the fact that the Red Sox are too far out of it, I don't want to say the season's over per se, but again, you just traded your starting catcher. You just traded your everyday catcher. Like, that's not a move you make if you're really serious about contending for the playoffs. So if a team comes calling and they're willing to give you a pretty good deal for Nathan Eovaldi, you have to take that. If you're Chaim Bloom, like, that's a no-brainer. I hope he does it. I have a sneaky, like, nightmarish feeling that he won't, because I think Chaim Bloom looks at Nathan Eovaldi as a qualifying offer guy. So he's going to give him the QO and go from there. But if teams come calling and they give you good packages, you've got to really look into that. So I think JD and Eovaldi are the two guys to really watch for tomorrow, because I think both of, if not at least one of those guys, is going to get dealt.
Charlie?
I'm one of the things that I said at the beginning of this show was that I was surprised certain people got dealt already. I will go on the record as saying that I didn't think that Vasquez was going to be the first name gone. I partially didn't think he was going to go. I thought JD was going to be arguably the first one to be missing. And the reason why I felt that way as far as some of the names was because Vasquez was saying, like, we're really close. Like, we feel like we're a contender here. And then he's the first one gone. I don't know. I think that Nate Eovaldi, like I said earlier, that I thought Eovaldi was going to go to Houston. Eovaldi didn't end up getting shipped out. He ended up making his one more start against Houston and increased his value, which is incredible. We know that Devers isn't going anywhere. We know that Xander's not going anywhere. I truthfully do not know what Chaim Bloom is thinking, because making some of the additions that he's made, it begs the question of what direction are we really going in? So truthfully, I don't really know what I can say. I think that JD will probably be gone tomorrow. I think Eovaldi will be gone tomorrow. But then again, with Chaim Bloom, no one really knows. Everyone could stay, and we might not make any moves tomorrow, which would leave a lot of fans really PO'd. Because if the major move that we made was Christian Vasquez, after everything that was said, discussed, a lot of people are going to be pretty upset, and they're going to be calling for Chaim to be gone. And I know Jason wanted to say something.
Yeah, I just, like, as you were talking about, you know, you're not sure what Chaim's going to do next, and we're talking about, you know, what this Red Sox team's going to look like going forward. I think this tweet from Marley Rivera of ESPN, it kind of shows you the team mentality right now. She tweeted out, well, how well liked is Christian Vasquez? He's at the team hotel. And because of that, quite a few players, including Bogarts, Devers, and Matt Barnes, rushed out post-game so they could see him and spend time together tonight. That is the kind of thing that's a team that knows that they're done. They're not competing this year. That's not the actions of a team that's like, okay, it sucks, but we're going to press forward and we're going to compete this year. No, that's the actions of a team that knows that, hey, we just trade away a core piece. Our season's pretty much done. So, yeah, we should just head back to our separate rooms and get ready for the game tomorrow. But you know what? We're going to go spend time with Christian. And we're going to hang out. And, you know, again, those names, Bogarts and Devers, went over there. Like, those are two guys whose futures are very uncertain right now under the Chaim Bloom era, because they could both be gone. They could both be back. We don't know. We hope they're both back. But for all we know, like Charlie said, you have no idea what Chaim's going to do. So it's just, that's very telling to me that a contention of players like that, including two of your team leaders, in fact, probably the two team leaders, if we're really thinking about it, went over there to spend time with a player that just got traded. That's not a team that's looking to compete. That's a team that knows we're done. We're getting ripped apart. And, you know, they're all just trying to figure out what their future is going to be. And it's depressing to say that, but it's the reality. Nobody knows what's going to happen now.
Well, I'll wrap it by saying, if you trade Nathan Eovaldi tomorrow, and I would say there's a 70 to 80% chance it happens, yeah, you're not competing. Your season's over. There's no way to sell me on it. He just basically dominated a team that's capable of winning the World Series tonight. And that's a pitcher that other teams are going to want, because they're like, we might have to face these guys. And I know this guy can pitch against them. He's been a Yankee killer in the past. He's going to be attractive to so many teams. So I think he's traded. And at that point, I'm not going to care what happens with JD. Charlie, you're on mute.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I'll say this. When Eovaldi did make the start, I thought, okay, he's not going to get moved. As soon as he finished the start, he was gone.
He's gone. Yeah.
That's it. I mean, you can't not. Houston is one of the elite teams in the league. It is one of the four core teams that continue to play patty cakes and you know what games, bleep bleep games, trying to add more players than the other team was doing. Yankees were adding, Houston was adding, Houston would add, New York would add. As far as I'm concerned, the four best teams right now, we just talked about them: Houston, New York, Dodgers, San Diego. Those are the only teams that took it super, super serious by making additions. And here's the thing. Those four teams aren't done yet. They are not done yet. And as far as I'm concerned, we were in sell mode, not trying, as soon as you discussed letting go of Christian Vasquez. That's it. Done.
Done, as Charlie said. So we are going to wrap on that. We will most likely be back tomorrow night to discuss what other moves did get made. And we'll just see you then. We do have Hot Take Tuesday loaded and in the chamber. I'm probably going to push that back to the later part of the week. It's just kind of a weird week. And with the deadline being on a Tuesday, it just complicates it even more. That show will be released eventually, but you got this one for today and one more trade deadline show tomorrow. Everyone have a great Tuesday. Take care.
Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, for prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.
Lowe's knows that free makes everything better. That's why our rewards members get free standard shipping on the things they need and want, starting at Silver Key status every day. Savings for rewards members add up fast, so why wait? Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Not available in Alaska and Hawaii. Exclusions and more terms apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/shipping terms. Subject to change.